BlogTalkZone.com.
Mike Northwebio Productions presents Barely Legal, featuring former Chicago Bear Robin Earle and Mike's guy, attorney David Spada, talking NFL football and legal issues in the NFL. Whoa.
Oh, hell yeah! Good morning, everyone. This is the Barely Legal Show, and it is the first Friday in February, and according to our furry little friend, Mr. Groundhog, spring is just right around the corner. Hi, I'm Robin Earle, former fullback and tight end for your beloved Chicago Bears. And alongside me is my partner, attorney at law, David Spada. This show is brought to you by our great sponsors, Mike Northwebio Productions, Next Step Medical Group, Stewart's Coffee, and nothing tastes better than a cup of Stewart's Coffee, particularly after a great morning workout. And, of course, the Liberty Chicago WiMAX team, where you can have both your home and mobile phone service for only $24.95 a month. And that is without tax or contracts to sign, and when you refer through, your phone service is absolutely free. And, of course, a big thank you goes out to the guy behind the glass, Dave Olson, who will be running the switchboard. Well, David, let's put a bow on the NFL season and wrap it up with the Super Bowl. Let's have a little discussion about that. But we also have a couple great guests on today with Hub Arkish and Eddie Payton. Excited.
Exactly. We got the expert on the line, the best guy in the business, Hub Arkish. He's the publisher and editor of Pro Football Weekly. He's currently the senior football analyst and voice for the Bears for The Score. He also created and syndicated Pro Football Weekly on radio, created and produced Pro Football Weekly on TV. He won two Society Professional Journalist Awards. He appeared on Good Morning America, The Today Show, Nightline, NBC, kind of like Blagojevich here.
Man, I tell you, Hub, can you get all that on a business card?
I was fine until he put me in black. I don't know, man.
Hey, good to have you on board, Hub.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, I like what you do. You do a great job. You know, you're one of the pros on the radio, and of course, when it comes to breaking down a game, analysis, and so forth, you're one of the best in the business. But let's just put a wrap on the Super Bowl, and since the NFL season is over, we're all going to kind of go in mourning for a while. But I don't know what the, I'm not a real hockey guy. I watch a little basketball, but it's a pretty good Super Bowl in my opinion.
Robin, it was for drama, for entertaining. I think it was. Certainly, the fans enjoyed it. I guess I'm a little different in that. We go all year long, you get to the end of the season, you like a little time off, a little breathing room, and the Hawks are exciting right now, and I'm a Cubs fanatic, so there's stuff to do during the off season, but nothing like the NFL, there's no question about that. And you look at how this thing wrapped. Originally they reported the second most watched event in television history, and they're now saying it's the most watched event, 152 million people. So, certainly a big game, they got their money's worth. I guess the one place where I differ with some, though, is I just feel the need to point out that other than the last 18 seconds of the first half and the last 3 minutes of the game, it was actually a pretty poorly played football game and a terribly officiated football game, which I think is really disappointing when you get to this point in the season.
Yeah, there was some critics out there that there are a couple of things that should have maybe been called, not called. But particularly, one thing that kind of distressed me a little bit was James Harrison's little bit of extracurricular activity there in the fourth quarter. Like John Madden mentioned, they thought he should have been ejected. That was my opinion also.
Robert, what's interesting about that, we go out there for the Super Bowl, and of course there's 3,000, 3,500 media members, whatever it is. It's a lot going on. I'm sure it's tough for a lot of players, especially young men who aren't used to it, but we've been doing it for so long now that these guys are coached up for media day and the glare and the spotlight, and they got to know what's going on. And we get there, and the first meeting with the team on Tuesday before the game, trying to do an interview with Harrison, and I'm not going to bore you guys with the whole long story, but he just decides he's going to be a total wise guy and refuse to answer my questions.
No kidding.
And be snotty about it, and then he starts glaring at me like you want to do something about it. So you move on. I've been doing this a long time. But I wrote a column for the website that night, and I pointed out, I said, I dealt with about a dozen players today, 11 of them couldn't have been classier, and then there was Harrison, and I just, basically detailed what had happened, the questions and the ridiculous responses, and immediately get flooded with a couple dozen goofy Steeler fans who, what kind of a, weak, whatever you can imagine, a language are you?
Right.
Just you let it go, because that's part of the deal. But then along comes game day. He has maybe the greatest play in the history of the Super Bowl. I mean, if you think about it, you think about the impact it had on the game, and the what he accomplished in getting that ball in the end zone. I never thought he was going to get there. And here we come back in the second half, and he's acting like a minor league clown. And I agree with you. I think he should have been tossed, and I thought it was inexcusable.
Yeah, you know, he was a undrafted free agent out of Kent State, I believe. Mm. So, you know, he had to work up the ranks, 6 foot, about 250 pounds, real stocky. You know, they've got him listed, linebacker, but he really is a rush defensive end on that 3-4 defense.
Well, and not only an undrafted free agent, but he was cut 3 times before he finally made a roster. He was cut, I believe, twice by the Ravens and once by the Steelers, and then finally made it. He was a backup on the 05 Super Bowl team. He clearly is a phenomenal football player. I mean, we have to separate these things. He's the defensive MVP in the league.
That's right.
Although I didn't actually vote for him. I thought DeMarcus Ware had a better season, but he's certainly right there. You know, he's a Pro Bowler. He's an All-Pro. And yet off the field, just issues. And I think at this stage of these guys' careers, especially a guy who's won a Most Valuable Player award and in the Super Bowl, I just don't know what he was thinking, because I agree with you. I thought that was inexcusable.
He's not going to Disney World with those antics.
No, he definitely isn't. Well, and that's the other interesting thing, is he was, until Holmes caught that pass. That was all the talk in the press boxes. You know, not only did he have the incredible interception and 100-yard return, but all three of Mike Gandy's holding penalties, which I think you could argue all three, but at least two of them were key points in the football game.
Darn right they were.
He was forced to hold James Harrison because he is such an outstanding pass rusher. So the guy had a huge impact on the game, but just spoiled it, you know, with his own actions.
He's had a ton of legal problems through the years. I think Notre Dame actually was going to offer him a scholarship until he had some problems in high school.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about the background, but again, just dealing with him last week, the word that comes to mind for me is thug. And you hear about that, you hear more about it with some of these kids off the court in the NBA. There's some of it now with guys like Pac-Man Jones and their posses and all that. But here's a guy who, and obviously he can control it because he hasn't gotten any trouble off the field, no suspensions, very few fines, nothing for off the field stuff, and yet just the way he acts, it's just, I guess, it's a different value set.
And I guess there's a little controversy too when Santonio Holmes, a little extracurricular, celebration in the end zone. They thought maybe there should have been a 15-yard penalty, kicked the ball off at the 15-yard line. They could have made a difference at the end of the game there.
Well, it could have, and I guess I understand their point, but here's where I go the other way, and I guess I'd be curious in your opinion of someone who played the game, Robin. The rules are stupid. I mean, you know, because he used
the
ball as a prop, they wanted a 15-yard flag. The guy just made one of the biggest plays in the history of the game.
Yep.
He wasn't taunting. He was celebrating, and maybe it was a little premeditated, had they thrown a flag on that, it would have been within the rules, but very well could have changed the outcome of the game. And again, that's what you don't want. You don't want the officials involved in deciding who wins and loses the game. So I admire their restraint in not throwing the flag on that one. And I think it's a rule that the NFL, the whole thing all year long, guys, with the fines, for celebrating in the end zone, $1,000, $5,000, or $10,000 fine after another. First of all, I don't buy that just because these guys are making hundreds of thousands or in some cases millions of dollars a year, $5,000, $10,000 is a lot of money. And to fine them for entertaining, which is what they're paid to do.
That's what they're paid to do.
Doesn't make sense.
That's right. You know, I like the celebration to a certain degree, of course. You don't have to go over the top like maybe a T.O. does on occasion, or a Ocho Cinco, whatever. But, when I played, you had the posse, the Redskins, you had some really clever things, but it sure brings out a lot of creativity in the players. There's no question about it. But, I understand the NFL and how they want to kind of control that, because if they don't, it could get really, really wacky. And of course, the fans are there to see. And of course, if you're at a home game and your home team scores a touchdown, hey, have some fun. That's what it's all about.
And, Robin, my only point is, if these officials are trustworthy enough and good enough to decide what's holding and what's not on an offensive lineman, or what's pass interference and what's not on a defensive back. And Lord knows they make these decisions every game, and there's certainly no consistency to them. Why can't they be trusted to decide when a celebration is over the top or not? Yeah, every once in a while, guys do something that's inappropriate. But what they've done with these rules now, you better you know, not turn right when you're supposed to turn left, or it's liable to cost you $10,000.
That's right. Hey, we're talking live with Hub Arkish, the editing publisher of Pro Football Weekly. And if you want to call in, we are at 888-463-6748. And, of course, that's 888-GO-4-IT, G-O-F-O-R-I-T, if you happen to, you know, not be able to coordinate the letters with the numbers. But we're just putting a wrap on this Super Bowl. I think our, you know, yeah, we stream live and all that, and we got a lot of Chicago listeners out there. Let's talk Bear football a little bit and kind of break down position by position a little bit and see how we can improve in 09.
Hub, I saw that Matt Castle, they put the franchise tag on him. I would love to see him in a Bear uniform. Give him whatever they want, a first, second round pick. I think he could be your franchise quarterback, and let Orton back him up for a year.
Well, you know, I will tell you that he's a valuable commodity. Now, whether he's a franchise quarterback or not, you got to remember, this is a guy who never started a game in college, albeit at a, you know, big time program with USC and playing behind Carson Palmer and Matt Leinart. It's a guy who had taken, I think, about 7 snaps in the NFL in 3 years and went out and had a lights out season. Now, watching him play, I tend to agree. I think he's a pretty good quarterback, but I think you got to be real careful here, you know, depending on what you're going to be asked to give up. And I know the name that I've heard a lot this year is Scott Mitchell, if you recall, a guy who had one lights out year in Miami, went out and got what at the time was a huge contract. It was about $14 to $16 million, but it was, you know, a dozen years ago, and never had a good game again. You know, so I don't think that's Matt Castle, but I also would be a little hesitant to mortgage the farm for him. So I think what the Patriots have done is they've bought themselves an insurance policy. The franchise value is a little over $14 million. So if he does stay with the team this year, they're going to have to pay him $14 million whether he plays or not. I don't think he'll be with them. I think they want to make sure that Brady is healthy, and then they'll look to trade him in May or June. At that time, the draft will be over. A couple other deals might have been made. His value will have come down a little bit, but he certainly is going to cost at least a first-round draft choice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Dave, I think the Bears have to do something at quarterback. I don't see Kyle Orton as a guy who's going to remind you of Ben Roethlisberger or Kurt Warner, or go back a year earlier and Eli Manning and Tom Brady. I mean, I think we see now you've got to have a Pro Bowl quarterback, not to get to one Super Bowl, but if you want to be a contender every year. And so I think the Bears need to address the position. I think the question would be, you know, how steep is the price to get a Matt Castle? And are the Patriots going to deal him, or are they, in fact, going to keep him one more year?
Yeah, Matt's got to feel like he won the lotto. He goes from $558,000 salary in 08 to 09 to $14.1 or $14.2 million. That's a nice little raise on the meter, huh, Dave?
Imagine what tight ends would be making now if you were playing.
Oh, geez.
I'll tell you something else about Castle. I do think he's the real deal. I actually did the Westwood One broadcast on that Thursday night game against the Jets, where he threw for over 400 yards and also rushed for over 60 yards, and I guess became the first NFL quarterback to ever do that. Seems strange to me that Bobby Douglas never did it, but
yeah.
League different time. I don't think he could throw for 400 yards in those days, but I'm sure I know he went over 60 yards rushing a number of times. Anyway,
bunch times, yeah.
You know, watching Castle, he is the real deal. I mean, the kid athletically, you could see him growing from week to week. He's got the athletic ability and the great frame and size to play quarterback. He can throw in the pocket. He can get out of the pocket. So I do think he's got a pretty bright future in the league. But, boy, you talk about winning the lottery. Going from never starting a game in college or the NFL to making $14 million for a season.
Absolutely incredible. I was just looking at his stats here real quick. Like, he had 21 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. Not a bad ratio there, 3,693 yards. And a quarterback rating just a shade under 90, which is, you know, so-so, you know, above average. But, yeah, just, you know, that just goes to show how an organization or, you know, a college program like USC can put out pro material. And, of course, I'm real happy because the offensive coordinator and quarterback coach is now moving to the University of Washington, my alma mater. That'll be coaching my Huskies.
Yes, Steve Sarkisian.
Well, he's got his work cut out after them going 0-11, so or whatever. I mean, they've had some pretty rough lean years, but I've got a sophomore quarterback coming up at Stevenson High School. I might have to put a phone call in. But anyway, let's move on to the Bears, Hub. And, of course, we talked the quarterback position. I think the wide receiver position needs to be addressed because, obviously, you know, look at the Super Bowl. The MVP was a wide receiver, which on occasion a wide receiver does get the MVP at the Super Bowls. And it just goes to show how valuable an individual of that nature is. And to tell you the truth, I spoke a couple of weeks ago on the wide receiver position, and you know, we just had a couple of flat tires. I mean, guys that just can't produce.
Well, and I think the big concern with the Bears is that they need at least two, probably three or four wide receivers. It's not like they're close. When you think about it, the only guy who played the position last year who is likely to be back and get significant playing time is Devin Hester. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what anybody says, he's never going to be more than a two or a three. He's not the guy they're trying to sell Bears fans that he's going to be. Earl Bennett obviously will be back. Hopefully he'll get a chance. But it certainly is a mystery to me how a guy could have been the leading receiver in SEC history and never get on the field for the Bears when they were as weak as they were at the position. So that's why, you know, when David talks about possibly trading their top two picks to get a quarterback, I think this team is far enough away from being a consistent Super Bowl contender and needs too much that they really can't afford to do that. I'd rather see them address the wide receiver position. They absolutely have to get better on the offensive line, or at least younger and eventually better on the offensive line. They desperately need an edge pass rusher. I love Alex Brown to death, but he really probably should be a left end. He's playing right end. And as far as Wally Agunlier, he's just not a good enough every down pass rusher to hold that left end position away from Alex Brown. They need a double-digit sack guy coming off that right side. They clearly need a starting free safety, and then you could argue about depth. They needed various other positions, too. So there's a lot of work to do, and for a team that Lovie Smith says is close, you know, that he thinks can get right back in the thick of it this year, I don't think they can mortgage the draft for a young quarterback who may not play for a year or two.
Yeah, that's why we've got the 18th pick. And we're projected the defensive end, I believe, from LSU. What do you think of that, Hub?
Well, we don't really start studying these kids all that closely until we get to the combine. So I know, you know, he's a good football player. Aaron Maben from Penn State is another one who some have projected higher, but we think he could fall to the Bears there as well. There's probably going to be as many as four rush ends in the first round. But if you look at the draft the last couple of years, the big-time pass rushers haven't been coming out at that position. You got to go back to Mario Williams 3 years ago, who was the first overall pick.
And right,
so
Houston.
The rest of it becomes a bit of a crapshoot. I think that if the best football player available at 18 is a defensive end, then that's the way I'd go if I'm the Bears. But, again, if the best football player is a wide receiver, I do that. If the best football player is an offensive tackle, I do that, because I think these are all significant needs. Now, the one thing I can tell you is it's not going to be a safety, because, you know, it's a terrible year to get safeties, and
right.
Unfortunately, it's one of the Bears' greatest needs.
Yeah.
Hub, I see 11 gaps on offense and defense. I mean, like you said, you need a backup quarterback now that Rex is gone. I think you need someone to take the pressure off Forte at running back, three receivers, a guy on the offensive line, a defensive end to replace Agunlier. A linebacker replaced Hillemeyer, and like you said, a safety and probably another cornerback.
Well, you need all these things. Now, obviously, you're not going to get them out of one draft. And I guess, you know, in defense of Lovie, they were 9-7. I mean, you can argue any way you want about how they got there and how good a 9-7 they were. They were 9-7, and in case folks didn't notice, the Arizona Cardinals were 9-7 too. Now, I'm not comparing them. There is no comparison. You know, they've got Kurt Warner and Larry Fitzgerald, and I think that I would take the roster's personnel over the Bears in a heartbeat if it was a straight 53-for-53 swap. But I think the approach that Jerry Angelo and that Lovie are taking right now is, okay, so what do we need minimally to become a legitimate or solid 10-6 or 11-5 as opposed to a shaky 9-7? And that's where you can be a little more selective and say, you know, if we get, and let's combine free agency with this, guys, you know, if we get two wide receivers who can play, if we get a guy who can pressure the passer, and we get a free safety, then we got a chance to be a legitimate, you know, wild card team or a division winner that can win a playoff game. And I think that's the next step. To talk about what this team has to do to get to the Super Bowl, that silly, because as much as, you know, you see these one-season turnarounds with teams like Miami and Baltimore and Atlanta, what was the one consistent factor with those three teams? Two of them lost their first playoff game, and Baltimore, they won two playoff games, but it wasn't because of the rookie quarterback. It was because of that phenomenal defense, and five of those 11 starters are free agents right now.
Absolutely. Hey, Hub, we're going to take a short break. We'd like to keep you online. Hopefully we've got Eddie Payton coming on board with us. I'd like to take you through the next segment. You got some time?
Yeah, sure.
Fantastic. Thanks, all right, man, we are the Barely Legal Show. Call in 888-463-6748. Love to hear from you. I'm Robin Earl, and my partner is David Spada. We'll be back in a couple seconds.
Attention employers of medical professionals and medical professionals looking for new employment opportunities. Do you ever think about how much time and money you spend searching for the perfect candidate to add to your medical team? Do you ever wonder what other career opportunities are out there for you, but you're too exhausted at the end of your day to look? Then you need to contact Next Step Medical Staffing. At Next Step, the medical professional can count on us to alleviate the stress of searching for a new job. And for all your employment managers, we ensure we provide you with the most qualified candidate to meet your medical staffing need. We assist our clients and medical professionals to fill staffing needs in the areas of nursing, allied health, physician, clinical research, psychiatric, and federal staffing services. Call 1-877-6-NEXT-STEP or find us on the web at nmsstaffing.com. Let our professional staff show you we are your next step in solving your medical staffing and career needs.
Need sound legal advice? If you've been injured at work, in a car accident, or on the job, or received a traffic ticket, then call me, Attorney David Spada. Don't get taken advantage of. Don't represent yourself. Ensure your rights are protected. Call me, David Spada, at 847-729-COMP. That's 847-729-2667. You can also download my sports and legal show, Barely Legal, with former pro football player Robin Earl on TalkZone.com.
When you hear a police siren, what are the first words out of your mouth? Well, it should be to call an attorney you can trust. My guy! Attorney David Spada. Going to court without an experienced traffic attorney could result in a conviction, loss or suspension of your driver's license, traffic school, increased insurance rates, or even jail. I wouldn't want any of these, and you shouldn't either. Don't screw up by not calling David Spada. Call David now. 847-729-COMP. That's 847-729-2667. Or visit northtonorth.com to see the reduced rates David Spada is offering.